Good morning.
Good morning, Annie. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for your time. So, could you tell us a little bit more about what the exhibition was like? How was it when you and your team managed to find this very special skeletal remain?
Yeah, for sure. So, after a few weeks of excavation, we came upon a human grave. So, in terms of archaeology, that slows everything down quite substantially. So, we began a meticulous process and a very slow process of excavating the bones one by one.
Oh, that's fascinating. So, you say you were getting them one by one. Was it all intact in one area, or were they all over the place?
This human burial is extraordinary in that it's fully articulated. So those bones, other than shifting by the weight of sediment having rested on top of them over time, they are absolutely where they were buried as they were buried. So we call that in archaeology, we call it in situ. So this person was interred very carefully, and the bones are absolutely perfect to look at.
Wow, that is fabulous. So the remains show that the special thing is that the remains show that a foot was missing. But how were you able to come to the conclusion that it was amputated and it wasn't missing by an accident or just maybe it was just lost during time?
Well, so when we were excavating, we recognized quite quickly that the left lower leg was missing. And having excavated the entire grave out and the foot bones not being there, what was there was the lower left leg, so our tibia and fibula below the knee. And those bones that remained were shortened, so they were not the entire length of what you would expect in a leg. And what was there is what we call remodeled. So even though myself, Andika, and Tim Maloney are not bioarchaeologists, so we're not paleopaths like Melandri Vlock, who did the absolute specialist run on it, we could tell that something was going on here. We could tell that the bone had healed.
Oh wow, that's really fascinating. So I guess people during these times, we wouldn't assume that they had these sort of advanced medical experiences. How do you think this person survived without having the consequence of, I guess, fatal blood loss or an infection after the amputation?
Well, I mean, really, all we can do is hypothesize this. And we know from the skeletal remains, they give very clear indicators that this person, well, the amputation happened as a child. So this child had his leg removed at around the 8 to 10 year mark. And they went on to survive 6 to 9 years, so dying as a young adult.
Wow, that's really fascinating that the person managed to survive. Because as we know, even these days with a lot of medical interventions, as much as advanced that we are, sometimes things can go wrong and people don't survive. But the fact that they probably have very limited medical supplies that they were able to survive for a long time, what do you think they might have used to, I guess, amputate the leg?
Well, the leading theory for the surgery itself is a lithic edge, so some kind of a stone tool. In modern medicine, obsidian is a type of stone tool that is still used in particular and very specific surgeries today. So while we don't have the direct evidence of the amputation because that didn't happen at the time when this person was buried, we're leaning towards stone tools, but we're going to run a range of experimental archaeology workshops and see what comes from it.
That's really fascinating. This is a really special finding. Have there been other skeletal remains found in the past that have had sort of similar bone structures where they were like minor amputations or medical surgical interventions that we didn't expect people to have back in the day?
There are. So the other, there's only, there's few. So in archaeology, we're always working with a small sample size. There's evidence, the evidence that we had before this was really confined to Neolithic society, so to really to the past 10,000 years. And often the narrative around it was that it it became surgical advances and sort of the modernization of medicine became a bit of a thing after people started practicing agriculture and settling down in communities and villages. Whereas this find we have completely upturns that narrative, basically.
Awesome. So the final question I want to ask you is, I guess, what does this mean for the history of human medical knowledge and development?
I suppose that's a hard question. It's an isolated find, so we know what this means for sure. It's changing everything. It's going to change the way that we think about the past. It changes the way that we have to think about communities that are not living in villages and are not living in practicing agriculture. Often, you know, it's talked about that these people that live in you know, foraging societies, hunter-gatherer, for lack of a better word, were somehow incapable of medical technological advancement. And that's just not true. We know that's not true, but now we really have solid evidence.
Really interesting. Well, thank you so much, Dr. India Dalshaw, for chatting to us about this really interesting find.
Thanks very much for having me.